Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I told you, you got to watch what you say these days.
Ah, nation of wimps.
Yeah. It is Dukes and Bell. We're talking about Baker Mayfield. Did the GQ interview, and he was like, yeah, let me tell you something else. And then it got out, and then he was like, oh, I actually didn't say that. See, what had happened was we will tell you more about it because there is a fallout around the National Football League. I have no problems with guys who speak their mind. Here's the deal, though. If you are going to do that, and when you call out your peers, okay, you better back it up because now you've opened yourself up for comments. And here's the deal. If Baker keeps it on level, right, about Daniel Jones, whether he thinks the dude's going to be good or not, who knows? We don't know. But you're a quarterback in this league. He's a quarterback in this league. And at some point, you know, your paths are going to cross. Mm-hmm. But, Mike, when you start criticizing and taking shots at guys, it opens you up for being shot at.
Right. You know, Jalen Ramsey with the Jaguars last year. And, again, I mean, some of that stuff was just ignorant, you know, I mean, because these guys are really good. I mean, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's won Super Bowls. And you're going to see how Antonio Brown is not going to put up those same numbers without Big Ben getting him the rock. But in the case of, you know, Baker Mayfield, his point was, this guy didn't win anything. Don't you want guys that have a proven track record? And you and I debated. We talked about, we looked at guys, you know, a guy like Patrick Mahomes, that's a 500 program under Cliff Kingsbury. The same reason, you know, that people are wondering, why does Cliff Kingsbury get a shot at being a head coach in the NFL is because of what he didn't do when he had talent like Patrick Mahomes out there in Lubbock. But then you got guys like Sam Bradford. Okay, you played for Oklahoma. You played in big boy games, and you were terrible and couldn't stay healthy. So, I mean, is there a direct correlation with playing with a winning program? You and I love Deshaun Watson for all of those metrics. We like Baker Mayfield for all of those reasons. And the Daniel Jones thing was a reach. Now, Daniel Jones, he looks like he can be the guy. We'll find out. Only time will tell. But I think if you're Baker Mayfield, stick to it, man. Stick to your guns. You know what? Be Boomer Esiason. Be a guy with an edge. You don't want to be Jeff George, but you can be a guy who's got a bit of an edge because that's kind of what fuels his success as it is anyway.
Yeah, it really does.
Now, granted, you're a 7-8-1 quarterback in your illustrious NFL career, so some would say, you know, you got to wait a minute before you start taking some shots, but there you go.
Yeah, I just, you know, my thing is cream rises, right? If you're good, you're good. I just like to see how guys respond in these big, enormous moments in college football. I think it matters. And you said it, Drew Lock, for all that he was and the numbers at Mizzou, he didn't have those. You know, if Drew Lock went through a season where he beat, you know, everybody in the East or put up great games against Florida or Georgia. Right. And you know, I just never saw that. So either way, it's a discussion, but I just think Baker Mayfield is this guy who's got a big mouth, and that's fine. And if they start winning divisions and championships, this is who he's going to be, and that's great when you're winning, but just know that you've opened yourself up.
Meanwhile, you know, Kyler Murray, who steps in for, you know, one full year with Oklahoma. And if you watched, again, you cannot draw a conclusion from a preseason game because Haskins looked horrible for the Redskins. He looked really good last week. Kyler Murray, direct opposite. One thing, if you didn't see Hard Knocks last night at the end of the preseason game with the Raiders and the Cardinals in Arizona, Antonio Brown walks up to Kyler Murray and goes, hey, man, you got to get used to this. They're going to be coming at you. He goes, team's going to be running. They're going to be throwing everybody at you until, you know, you show. You know, he says, don't lose your confidence. You be you, which is kind of cool to see that interaction because that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, he didn't look good in this last preseason game, and that's part of the narrative for Hard Knocks last night. But, yeah, I mean, listen, everybody knows he can run. Can he throw the ball in the National Football League and complete passes? Some of those passes, you see how quickly those plays happened last night for him? Mm-hmm. As you watch it back. I mean, we didn't watch the actual the game live, but it was part of Hard Knocks. And you see how fast these plays are happening. And Kyler Murray's like, I got to get out of here. You know?
And that's what everybody always says, the speed of the NFL. And that's why, and this is why, and I know this might upset some Alabama fans, but the worst team in the NFL would beat the crap out of the best team in college football. Because of the speed. You got, even if these guys are a three-win team, they've got speed coming at every position, and that's the big difference maker. And that's what everybody sees when they first get to the league.
It is true, man. Hit us up. What do you think? 404-741-0929. It is Dukes and Bell on a Wednesday hump day. We're almost to the weekend tomorrow. Falcons play Mercedes-Benz against the Redskins. And then we got Atlanta United on the road against Orlando FC. Our Five Stripes preview coming up in about 30 minutes. So stay tuned for that with Mike Conti. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Blitz is brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out, guys, at Priority Men's Medical Center. .com. Jalen Smith gets a new deal from the Cowboys. And here's the breakdown. I think the story is better than the money. And again, he's got, you know, money now to take care of his family and generations. But signing bonus $5 million, $835 million fully guaranteed. He gets an $8 million bonus in 2020. You look at this deal, it all adds up at the end of the day, Mike, to a deal that's going to pay him. In essence, right, it was, what, $65 million deal? That's not guaranteed, fully guaranteed. But the deal, when you break this down, you go, okay, 16.4 in injury guarantees. The contract includes $19 million fully guaranteed at signing. It's a really good deal for a guy that the Cowboys took a risk on. Now, I want you to hear Jerry Jones first because he talks about the story, not the contract.
This is a contract story. Y'all been bartering my ass to get a contract story out there with you for the last 3 weeks. This is a contract story.
So he's talking about, you know, the deal as far as Jalen being hurt, the Cowboys risking a draft pick on him. He had to sit for a year. Is he better than our guy? Is he better than C.J. Mosley? Because when you look at this deal, the new money averages about $12.7 million. That puts him at number five among inside linebackers, okay? But the total guarantees of $35 million put him at number two behind C.J. Mosley of the Jets. I say, is he better than our guy? And I'm talking about Debo.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the contracts, that's why we talked about Dak. Even though Dak's really probably not worth the kind of money he's going to make, everybody who gets a new deal from Kirk Cousins to Garoppolo kind of sets that new market. So here's a guy that, again, very impressive early on in his career, but that's a lot of loot you're talking about right there. Jalen Smith, by the way, for those who don't remember, he's kind of the poster boy for why a guy like DeAndre Baker checks out of the Sugar Bowl. He blows his knee out in the Fiesta Bowl and kind of put him behind the eight ball. Takes him almost a year and a half before he can do what he's doing for the Cowboys.
Here is Jerry Jones. By the way, he was asked about, all right, so you paid Jalen. Is there enough money to take care of Zeke and Dak and Amari?
There is less pie left. Make no bones about it. There is less pie.
You know, I finally figured out who Jerry Jones reminds me of. I watched The Mule last night in between the Braves game because the Braves game was crawling at times.
It's on HBO.
Yeah, Jerry Jones has now become Clint Eastwood in The Mule, okay? He's the old guy. He's the walking soundbite now. But movie drags, by the way. It could have been quicker pace.
I didn't watch it.
But quicker pace. But now, if you alienated Ezekiel Elliott by saying, Zeke who? Now you're saying, now there's less pie. Less pie for Zeke and for Dak. Dak and Zeke, less pie.
Less
so how are these guys going to respond to that? Everyone just assumes that he's going to cave and give Zeke the deal.
Yeah. I mean, how is it less pie when the cap keeps going up? It's like they keep making pies, Jerry.
I just listened to Jerry talk. Oh, we're going to have less pie for Zeke. Mm-hmm. And, Zeke who?
There's less pie.
That's for sure. All right, here's Jalen Smith. He got the deal basically done in about a week and a half.
You know, we all have egos for better and for worse. But, you know, when you don't identify with them, you're really able to be present. So that's really just what I focused on. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but we got the deal done in a week and a half, maybe less than that.
Less than that.
I mean, we both know what we wanted to do. So it's a blessing.
It is. Congratulations, Jalen. Let's shift gears and hear from John Gruden. We talked about Hard Knocks Episode 3 last night. A lot of it focused on Antonio Brown, but as Mike said, I thought it was a more complete episode. I mean, the first two, okay, if you're setting some storylines up, I get it.
There's more human sides to it, Darren Waller, and mm-hmm. We'll talk about him in a second from Georgia Tech. But, yeah, you got it a little more in-depth. And I think they kind of got caught off guard by the Antonio Brown, and it just kind of felt like they were patching it together and throwing elements into the show. It just didn't have the flow that the Browns storylines did last year. But this one was the first episode I thought was really up to speed.
I agree. Here's Gruden talking about Brown and the fact that he hasn't missed a whole lot.
He's really good. Yeah, he's showing great retention of what we're doing. He didn't miss the off-season program. He's been here and out of here in meetings, and it's just good to have him back. But he's in great shape. He's running hard and running good routes.
Now, he does have the latest grievance filed over the helmet. They say that's got no chance in hell of getting any relief on that.
It's over.
And so Mayock kind of did the bad cop, good cop. We said it earlier last hour. The feet thing is still the issue. Because, give him credit, he's going to have to shoot it up and play because as the skin will grow, and shed. And apparently, according to what happened to other players that have had this misfortune, including some track stars, that could go on through the first quarter of the NFL season. But it's amazing to see him out there kind of going full bore and making the cuts and doing all the things a wide receiver has to do. It's got to hurt like hell.
I would guess.
I mean, so I'll give him every time I watch, I get one segment Antonio Brown. You know, I kind of, okay, he's not that bad. And then I get another segment, I go, what a meathead. You know, it's kind of hard to figure out what is he all about, you know?
Here's Gruden one-on-one with Antonio Brown talking about getting to work, and here's the exchange.
If you got any problems, anything bothering you, if you have any problems, I got problems.
We're all in this together.
You know what I'm saying? So I know you got a lot of people in your ear because you're like a corporation that's kind of gone global. Yeah. But at the end of the day, let's keep this simple.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Football comes first.
Boom. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
If you watch the episode, you do see he's got a lot of sycophants hanging around. But, you know, that's a lot of athletes have that.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Mike, I'm about to play a soundbite that it really hurts my heart. It really does when I hear Drew Brees say the things about his city and his football team.
No, absolutely. Listen, New Orleans was hurting. We were all hurting. You know, we were all struggling. And when I made that statement, I was talking to myself as much as I was to anybody else. You know, that was painful. I think it'll always be painful. You know, that sting never really leaves you. But listen, you got one of two choices. You know, you can go in the tank or you can find a way to have it motivate you and add some fuel to the fire and turn it into a positive somehow, some way.
Mike, they're hurting.
I mean, yeah, it hurts. I feel you.
They're hurting, Mike.
Hot. You know what?
They're hurting.
Carl, the last 2 years, it's hard times in the Crescent City, Daddy. Hard times for them Saints fans. Look, they still got their ring. They can hold that over their head. But they've choked and blown in two of the most extremely excruciating fashion for those fan bases the last two playoff losses.
Yeah, but if you go back to their last four or five playoff appearances, they've blown opportunities. I mean, I hear him, and you know this. We like Drew Brees. He's a good guy. I can't cheer for him when he's playing against us, but as a human being, he's one of the best out there, man, doing a lot of good things. But the deal is, you're hurting? You're hurting?
It said he's hurting, Carl. I mean, like,
New Orleans was hurting. We were all hurting.
I mean, look, it's a one-horse town. I love New Orleans. We love it for 48 hours. And again, for all New Orleans Saints fans, if you love it so much, you probably should have gone back now by now, but you didn't because you know it's better here. But regardless, they are hurting, Carl, because that's all they got. It's a two. They do have the Zion and the Pelicans, you know, but that is their identity. They know no city identifies more closely with their football team than Saints fans.
All right, please save that, please. It is Dukes and Bell. It is our NFL Blitz, a segment brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com.
Yeah, and one of the things that came up last night on Hard Knocks, and I did not realize the Georgia Tech connection, of course, but Darren Waller, the tight end, a guy that had substance abuse problems, and he's had, I think, over 2 years now of being clean, sober. But it was one of those sort of like, you know, human interest angles that they played last night on Hard Knocks. And a guy that now that I've heard the story, I want to root for the guy and hope he succeeds. Because they had video of him at Ravens camp, and he was zooted out of his mind. John Harbaugh was talking like, hey, man, you okay? You with us here? And later you find out that, yeah, he was smoking everything that wasn't nailed down. But now he's got his life in order, and it's a really cool story. But so, I mean, he's a tremendous physical specimen. The guy's an athlete.
So we're watching the show last night. My wife's half asleep. And then they show this dude riding the bike.
Right.
And all of a sudden, she wakes up and says, who's that? I'm like, really? You've missed the entire show, and this is who you're worried about?
And
you
got a smooth-looking brother with his shirt off.
Oh, and he, you know.
Right in the stationary.
Yeah, he looks the part. I mean, sweat is dripping off of him. This dude's got like a 9-pack. Mm-hmm. She's like, who's that? I'm like, really? So, to your point, physically, this guy looks like he should be owning the NFL.
Right.
Mentally, he had some demons. And he's tried to overcome them. I don't know if he makes the team or not. He apparently has got great hands. But, yeah, the local connection ties into the Raiders.
All right, from the NFL Blitz, Carl, to this is the XFL. They've released the team names. And we all knew the cities where they were going. Here's some of this, Bo. We've got the Dallas Renegades.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Houston Roughnecks. Great name. Oil business. I get it. Los Angeles Wildcats, meh. New York Guardians, meh, meh.
I remember the Guardian Angels, Mike. Come on. Yeah, you could ride the train and be safe.
Well, you know, you kind of need those guys back on the trains these days, thanks to that idiot mayor. St. Louis Battlehawks. Battlehawks? What is that? Is that a hawk that carries like a battle axe with him? It's a very militant hawk. The Seattle Dragons. All right, here's one I like. The Tampa Bay Vipers. And then you've got the Washington Defenders. Okay, so the way I see it, three of those names are cool.
The names sound familiar, don't they, though? I mean, it sounds like... Right. I don't know, USFL days,
well, guys have
arena
held,
football.
Yeah. Guys have held on to the USFL naming rights, so you couldn't be the Tampa Bay Bandits, which was one of the great. The Houston Gamblers was great. But the Roughnecks, that's tight. Tampa Bay Vipers, I do like that. Every time you go snake, you know, we'll bite you.
All right, man. We got plenty more to get to, guys, including what is going on with the Falcons. We're going to talk about it with you next.
New Orleans was hurting. We were all hurting.
Coming up Saturday, we've got our big fantasy football summit that's going down at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. And we've been talking about Liz Loza, as she's going to be a part of our summit. And she's going to join us tonight at 6:20. So I can't wait to hear what she has to say about fantasy strategy. And it's going to be a lot of fun, man, out there at Twin Peaks Buckhead, Saturday, noon till 3. Okay, that's noon till 3. And just a quick reminder that golf fans, don't miss out on the Tour Championship this week at East Lake Golf Club. The Midday Show is going to be broadcasting live out there Thursday and Friday. That's tomorrow and Friday, 10 to 2. So come see the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You ready for this Fantasy Summit?
Yeah, man. Since we had the blind drawing the other day, Randy did it. They had all our names in a pot, and they pulled them out. And Fricky is on the clock from the morning show with Hugh and Frick.
Can he blow this?
No.
Okay.
Saquon Barkley, I mean, he's going to pull Saquon Barkley, right? That'll be the name. Okay. But anyway, we're picking second at a poll question today because I did a mock draft. We actually have a if I could get as lucky on Saturday with this as I did today on CBSSports.com with Kamara and Dalvin Cook, Mark Ingram, Sony Michel, Mike Evans, Calvin Ridley, D.D. Westbrook with the Jags, Fitz from the Cardinals, Terrell Williams, who with the Raiders might actually do a really good thing this year, depending on what Antonio Brown does, George Kittle, Jags, Greg Zuerlein, by the way, Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers. That's not a bad fantasy squad for the second overall pick in a 10-team league. But the question I have for you guys at number two, do we go Kamara or Christian McCaffrey? 33 to 45 votes, and it's right down the middle, 50-50. Again, there's two guys in our division,
yeah.
Two guys with a lot of touches. If you were in a points per reception league, either one of these guys will do you justice. But how about that? I mean, there's no consensus on our second overall pick.
Do you think – I think Kamara had a total of 18 touchdowns last year, I want to say. Mm-hmm. That would be my question. I think McCaffrey will have maybe more receptions. Who's going to get in the end zone more? And I still think it might be Kamara, simply because now he doesn't have to, you know, give those extra carries to Mark, right? He's gone. What's his
Ingram's
name?
Over in Baltimore, Mark and Mark Ingram could be the guy that could emerge as the number one running back with the Ravens. And that might be a nice second round pick, depending on how it goes. But, yeah, man, so we're going to have some fun. Guys are asking, for who are not fantasy football fans, they go, see, that's it. That's why I can't do it. You got a Saint and you got a Carolina Panther. Mm. Well, again, it's not life or death. You want them to have success against your team, just not too much success when they play, if that's possible. For some folks, that's kind of hard for them to have those kind of mixed allegiances, you know, on game day.
While we're talking about the Fantasy Football Summit, let me ask you this about our Falcons, which will get us into some Falcon stuff. Who's going to have the biggest fantasy impact as a Falcon this year?
Taco Fall.
Okay.
No. Again, John, first off, he's Central Florida, and he's not even on the Hawks, so please. Yeah, and again, that's for the first overall pick. Team Fricky selects
Taco Fall. Taco Fall would be the attraction.
Okay, all right. No, that I said the Falcons. The Falcons.
Some things you might hear for the 50th time, and still it still
funny.
Makes
it's
you
still
laugh.
It's still funny. It's still funny.
But anyway.
It's sort of like the Masters.
You are Carl's whole partner, Mark James, an event like any other.
Yeah, it never goes away. But who's going to have the bigger impact from the Falcons' standpoint?
Well, I mean, you think, does Ridley take a step back? Because
10 touchdowns?
That was a hell of a year for
it was.
I mean, we want to see both these guys. We asked Calvin Ridley about the idea of 2,000-yard receivers, him and Julio. And, you know, Sanu would say, don't leave me out of this mix. But I'd love to see Julio go over 10 touchdowns this year with Cutter calling the shots. And that would have to come, I would imagine, at Ridley's expense. So I'll still say Julio is going to be the number one big dog,
okay,
the number one fantasy guy. What drives people outside of Atlanta crazy you know, our buddies who do fantasy football that we talk to around the U.S. is that early 7 weeks with no touchdowns, because that was like, you know, those are, you're getting all the points, but you're not getting, you know, a lot of great appetizers and sides, but you weren't getting the steak, or you weren't getting, you know, the big piece of fish on your plate. You know, there was no touchdowns weeks 1 through 7.
What about, would you be willing to say that Free's going to have a bigger impact than Julio?
My mind's eye, I see Free having a good year, but this offensive line is such a, I didn't say garbage, but it's question mark. It's a big question mark. We just don't know. And when McGarry comes in, is he going to struggle when he comes in? You know, we want to see him beat out, you know, obviously Ty Sombrello, but what is the learning period, the growth, you know, how quickly will it get him, you know, to get going and really get rolling there as the right tackle? Lindstrom's taking his lumps in these first few weeks. That's why it kills us. McGarry's not doing the same. What do you think? You think Free's going to have a 1,000-yard season? If Free has a 1,000-yard season, we're in the NFC Championship.
I agree. I mean, because now you're telling me that we're balanced, that Matt is – maybe Matt still does throw for, you know, 38 touchdowns again or 35 or whatever. But, yeah, I think if you're telling me he has 1,000 yards, then we're really good offensively because of the balance. And now teams don't – you know, we're not one-dimensional. That was the thing last year. What was crazy about last season, it is Dukes and Bell. Matt Ryan put up very similar numbers. And I just did this recently because I went back and I wanted to see – why everybody thought that he had a bad season last year. Not us. Nationally, people thought, well, Matt Ryan had a down year. No, the team had a down year.
They're not paying attention to what he was doing.
Matt's numbers are a hair, Mike. I mean, literally, a tick off of what he did for the MVP in 2016. And so he did that with no running game. We were one-dimensional, and he did that. So if you're telling me that Free is going to approach 1,000 yards or is over it, then that tells me that we're a balanced team, and all of a sudden now teams can't just try to defend what we do with the passing game.
You're right. Matt had 20 less yards in the air and only three less touchdowns in the air. And, you know, if you go back and you look at the quarterback rating, just 9 points off what he did in his MVP season, with Carl just laid it out, no run game and a bad offensive line where he was taking hits every game. Go back and look at it. That's why that Jets game was so scary. It's like a flashback to any part of last season.
Yeah. So who do you guys think is going to have the biggest impact? And we talk about that from a fantasy standpoint, but we also talk about that from just a regular season standpoint as well. To be honest with you guys, we need all of these guys to play well. And when I say that, I don't expect Calvin Ridley to have double-digit touchdowns again. I just don't. If he does, he's off to one of the greatest starts of an NFL career right. That we've seen in the history of the league. That's great. But I do expect him to be a big part of this offense because, Mike, when Julio's on the field, he commands a double team. And that's why Snoo and Hoop and Calvin Ridley could potentially all have huge years for us. And then, again, having Free out of the backfield, again, we forget because it's been a couple of years. It's a guy that caught 75 balls out of the backfield a few years ago.
Right, and you go back and look at the production in 15 and 16 for Devontae and all the touchdowns he accounted for in the air and on the ground. I mean, that's why we felt obligated to say, at least our opinion was, give the man the money. And then, of course, everything since then has been just a real, real just drag. You know, the injuries, the concussion issue. But now, Free, everybody's – I know we say it all the time. Everybody's saying the things because it's valid. It's not just coach speak. He looks great. He looked really good at practice when we saw him.
No, he does. 404-741-0929. You can chime in. If you had one Falcon to take, who would it be as we get ready for our big football, fantasy football summit right now? I mean, and a lot of people – remember, a lot of people, Mike, slept on Matt Ryan. And then people picked him up, and he put up great numbers for him.
But you brought up something interesting. We were talking about this at the end of the, I guess it was last hour. You know, what if Julio doesn't have a deal in place, and here we are going to Minnesota, and he's still making a nice chunk of change, but it's not that, you know, one or two or three in the league money at wide receiver. I mean, does Julio get in his bag over that, or does Julio just keep putting a brave face on it and says this deal's going to get done? Is Jimmy Sexton still here? Did he come and go? I mean, Julio was promised the money. We're not intimating he's going to make a scene. It's not Antonio Brown. It's not Melvin Gordon. It's not that kind of diva nonsense. But Julio was supposed to have a deal in place. We're kind of curious why it hasn't happened yet.
I'll simply put it to you this way. When the games are not real, the money ain't real. When the games start counting, the money counts.
Because he hasn't played yet in preseason.
That's right.
They're not using him.
So when you tell me that, you know, yes, he is going to see this deal and that he'd be willing to play without new money on his deal and start the season where potentially he could get injured, I don't buy that. I don't see that happening. If you're Julio Jones, you don't do that either. And I'm sorry, it is about team, but it is also about, you know what, I've been told that this was supposed to happen, and it hasn't happened yet. So I'm hoping that, you know, it gets done, and we don't have to worry about it. But just from his perspective, Mike, he's been cool because it doesn't matter. It hasn't counted. And when it starts to count and those checks start to roll in, I think that's when it's going to matter to him to say, all right, listen, I'm not willing to roll out here with my health at risk and know that I don't have this new money on my deal.
But around $13 million he would make this year, and then about the same, give or take, next year. I mean, it's not chicken feet, but it's still not elite money now. Everyone else is going to get theirs. And, by the way, Jerry Jones gives Jalen Smith a contract. Still got, you know, a long-term deal for Amari Cooper that they've got to come up with. He, by the way, is a little banged up for the rest of the preseason for the Cowboys. We also talked about Ezekiel Elliott. That's another thing which gets back to our fantasy party coming up on Saturday. With all these guys, you know, sort of in flux, it makes Andrew Luck. You don't even know when Andrew Luck's going to be out there throwing a football under center.
Would he be one of your first five or eight
picks? No, I don't touch Andrew Luck right now.
Yeah.
In all the mock drafts I've done, I got free time on my hands. I do a lot of them.
I do, too. I've been mocking a little bit more simply because it's that time of the year. By the way, if you've already had your fantasy football draft, shame.
Yeah, I don't know.
Shame.
Especially this year. You got guys that do it, and we do it the weekend before Labor Day because I'm the commissioner and I'm in Vegas and it's all about me. But normally, Carl, you should probably wait till around Labor Day weekend because now all these things are up in the air, man. Big play. I mean, we're talking five or six guys that really affect your first and second round.
No doubt. So it's going to be fun. We're inviting you guys to come out again. Summit, you've got a chance to win a championship belt for your league. I went back. I just saw the belt. It looks really cool. It's like the real heavy championship weight or championship-looking belt.
Nice.
But you can win that for your league. We've also got Falcon and Philadelphia Eagles tickets to give away at the Summit at Twin Peaks on Saturday. So you got to be there. Got to come out and hang out with us and take it all in. But you have a chance to walk away with some prizes as well, potentially, just coming out and hanging out with us. Noon till 3, guys. All right, coming up, we got a Five Stripes preview, Mike. We'll let you hear what Jeff Lorenowitz had to say about overlooking Orlando, because this is the fear Friday. You come off of a huge road win. We needed it. It lifts our confidence. And then Atlanta United lays an egg Friday night.
Yeah, 5 wins in all competitions, you know, U.S. Open Cup, including the win over Orlando, a big win over NYCFC, great win against in the Campeones Cup against Club America, and the most complete win of the season on the road in front of Portland. So, yeah, you can't have a let-up, because especially because they're the most miserable fan base, and they've just been awful towards our fans, so we can't lose to Orlando on Friday.
All right, man, Mike Conte's next. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
From the Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, CBS Sports proudly presents The Masters.
An event like any other.
Mark James.
Time now for the Five Stripes preview.
The chip scores!
Brought to you by Associated Credit Union.
It is time for our Five Stripes preview with Mike Conte.
That's new.
Yeah. We're freshening things up, Mike.
Sounds like I was dying.
Well,
can you play that again?
Let's hear it again.
Yeah, like,
I only had one headphone on, so let's hear it again, brother.
Yeah, no. I was like, did I hear that right? Am I dying?
Time now for the Five Stripes preview.
The chip scores!
Brought to you by Associated Credit Union.
You got T-Pained.
Special effects.
Yeah, we harmonized you.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's rewind before we look forward. And there is a lot to talk about. Mike Conte, the voice of our Atlanta United. We had Darren Eales in studio yesterday, and we're all feeling really good about this win in Portland.
Can I jump in for one moment?
Yeah.
Because there was a controversial incident in that match.
Okay.
In the 44th minute, when Pity Martinez is in on a breakaway, he's pulled down from behind. There's no penalty call. Doug Robertson of the AJC got a hold of Howard Webb, who is in charge of PRO. That's the Professional Referees Organization.
Right.
They provide the referees to MLS. Howard Webb says that was a mistake. Should have been a penalty.
Which I think everybody in under God's green earth knows it should have been.
Yes, and that's now 2 consecutive weeks, Mike, where there has been a missed penalty call on Pity Martinez, and the referees have been rebuked. 2 straight weeks, penalties drawn by the same player.
And we've seen him get mugged throughout. I mean, I think part of the frustration, Carl, and his ineffectiveness, Mike, as well, was that he was so frustrated he wasn't getting calls. We saw it with, at least back last season and year before, Mickey could run away from some of those guys. But in the case of Pity, you know, you can't see his amazing, you know, skill set because he's getting walloped everywhere.
I agree. It's just
so where's the love?
Well, you know,
thing. I look at the calls that Carlos Vela gets out there in L.A.
Ooh, he gets them all.
And here's the big thing. Look, it did not affect the outcome of the match. Mm-hmm. Atlanta United would have won either way. Last week against New York City, Atlanta United would have won either way. But what it does affect is the golden boot race, because those are two penalties that Joseph probably would have taken.
Right.
He's three goals behind Carlos Vela. That would make him one goal behind. Then you look at the penalty that Vela got against Atlanta United when he was fouled outside the box, and he got a penalty there. We could be all even in the golden boot right now. So I know Joseph doesn't care about that. Like, all he cares about is winning the cup. But these things do matter. Goal difference can matter. Goal difference almost mattered in determining the Supporters' Shield winner last year. So hopefully, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And now Pitti will start to get these calls that he's been drawing. But I just thought it was very interesting.
It is.
Good reporting by Doug over there at the AJC.
What happens with the grading of these officials? How does that work?
I don't know if it's like the NFL where they get marked down and they don't get playoff assignments. It is very, very unusual for rebukes of referees to be made public. Very, very unusual. And the thing that bothers me about it is you have VAR in place where this stuff shouldn't happen.
Right.
And okay, well, it's on the monitor, and they can look at it, and they can tell the ref to look at the monitor and change his mind, or at least review the call. That didn't even work well. I went back and timed it. The check only took about 45 seconds. That's not long enough. Now, I know you want to keep game going, but that's not long enough.
We asked Darren about this the other day. I think we asked Jason, too. Do you think because VAR was maybe overused at times, or at least
maybe,
the perception was?
Maybe.
I think fans, like in baseball, we just want to get it right.
I'm with you.
But there's no consistency.
I am fully with you. If you heard me call it on Sunday, you know how frustrated I was. But you're right, Carl. It was a big win. I think one of the biggest, if not the biggest, road wins this club has ever had. Because Portland, they were going for it, man. I mean, that was their MLS Cup revenge game. They had a full stadium there on a beautiful night. It was set up for them to get revenge, and Atlanta United went in there and controlled the match. Yes, they did give up some chances. Brad Guzan stood very, very tall. But I thought on the night, Atlanta United was clearly the better side.
What have we learned, Conte, about our club that we didn't know? And this is something I didn't get a chance to ask Darren. But I think there's some things about our club that we're figuring out or finding out that maybe we weren't quite sure about.
You know what I think it is? I think they aren't overthinking anymore. And maybe that was the case earlier in the season as they were getting used to playing together. And some people will say, well, they're playing a new system. No, not necessarily. They were getting used to playing with each other. You know, you take Miguel Almiron out, you put Pitti Martinez in. That is a major, major change. You go through training camp with the intention of having George Bello be your starting left back or left center back or whatever. He goes out. That's a change now when you've got Florentin Pogba inserted into that mix. And when you had Breck Shea called upon for so much, and then he gets hurt. You dealt with all the injuries at the beginning of the year in the match compression. I think now they're just going out and playing.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that started at LAFC when they went out there, no one expecting them to win, so really no pressure. They just went out and played. And you know what? What do you know? They outplayed them. Except for 12 minutes.
Right.
And since then, they've been on fire.
And that's the last game where they kind of sleptwalked. Remember, even they had that goal, but then even then, we kind of a little funky there.
But there's the thing, Mike, because this goes back to the officiating. Those first two goals might have been offside. Maybe not, but might have been.
Based on the Portland call that they waved that goal off, then the LAFC goals wouldn't have counted.
And then you had a very, very iffy penalty with an incident that occurred outside the box. But look, LAFC deserve the win. Fair play to them. But it's like you've been saying, Mike, I'd like to get another crack at those guys. I really, really
would.
It
would overturn the apple cart because everybody's, Carl's just sucking LAFC's kneecaps right now. Sorry, kids.
No,
it's just, I mean, everyone's kissing their butt.
They're having a great year.
They look like us last year.
Nothing away from them. They are having a great year. But Atlanta United has clearly shown that there's not that much of a drop-off between LAFC and Atlanta United right now, and I think that's what we can get excited about. You've got an Open Cup final coming up on Tuesday, chance for another trophy. You've already beaten the champions of Mexico. This can still happen. You know, I know some people were saying that this team might not be able to win a championship this year.
Yeah.
It can happen. If they keep playing like this, it absolutely can happen. And they're getting confident now, which is scary for the rest of the league, I think.
Mike Conte, this is our Five Stripes preview here on Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we'll talk dogs and some college football at 4 o'clock. Dale Murphy to join us at 4:20, guys. The East. It was jumbled, bumbled, everybody's, and then all of a sudden now we emerge. We're emerging.
But tied. with Philadelphia. I mean, they're first because they have an extra win. Okay, so Atlanta United's got a tie break right now. Atlanta United's not out of the woods in the East by any stretch. Both they and Philly have 45 points, so they play next week in Philadelphia. Huge match. New York City is still the team that's really in the driver's seat because they have so many matches left. In fact, they're going to play tonight. If you're an Atlanta United fan, you really want New York City to lose tonight, or at least draw, drop points. That's important. If Atlanta United goes out and takes care of business the rest of the way, they're going to win the Eastern Conference regular season championship. They'll have home field. They'll have a first-round bye. They'll go to CONCACAF Championship.
And, Mike, not to interrupt you, but I think that's where I'm going with this. That's a big deal.
No doubt. But is it realistic to think they'll be able to win 8 matches in a row going down the stretch?
No.
Where they play 5 on the road? No, that's a really tough ask. That means your home matches are critical, and your road matches against teams that are below you are also critical. One of those is Friday at Orlando. Cincinnati would be another one coming up at the end of the year. If you take care of business in 5 of those 8, you'll probably be okay. But I'm telling you, Orlando, they've made some moves. They signed this Pereira guy.
They're dangerous.
Nani's healthy.
They're more dangerous.
If there's ever going to be a time where Orlando is going to do this, this might be it. They are so close to the playoffs right now. For the first time in their history, they can taste it. And they got embarrassed by Atlanta United down in their home stadium a couple weeks ago. They will be looking for revenge.
And that's the thing. We beat them in U.S. Open Cup, but that's not MLS, guys, who are not familiar how soccer. It's a tournament that runs concurrent. They tied Toronto. They beat Sporting KFC. They tied Minnesota, who we're going to see in U.S. Open
Cup. Should have beaten Minnesota, too. Very late goal they gave up in stoppage time. Otherwise, they should have beaten them.
But, Mike, just real quick, because we've got to catch a break. When we beat them in the U.S. Open Cup, Carl and I were talking about it. We were texting back and forth. We just look technically better than them. Don Dwyer and those guys can't finish, and we can. It just, I mean, I don't want to get the big head because we want to keep this amazing streak against these guys, but are they due?
Is Orlando due?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope not. Atlanta United is technically better.
Right.
There's no question. But boy, the intangibles.
And it'll be a full house because this is not an extra ticket they had to buy, Carl. This is part of their season.
It's on national TV. It's just that they're feeling good about themselves right now because they're right there on the cusp of the playoffs. So we'll see.
Brad, make sure you have earplugs. Hey, it is our Five Stripes preview with Mike Conti, guys. Coming up, we'll talk some college football here on the program. Also, the legendary Dale Murphy stops by. What did he think about last night? Stay tuned.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.